And I hope it will for you. So let's read the two stories, first of all. And Mark will read his story, Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? Well, they didn't know Jesus was God. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now in verse 3, it tells us that there was a man who was sick of the palsy and was born of four, B-O-R-N-E. That word means carried. And I want to speak of that subject this morning, born of four. Born of four, carried four men to his healing and to his salvation. And I want to speak about this story here, and I hope you'll try to keep some of the details of this story in your mind in the Gospel of Mark as we turn now to the book of Luke and chapter number 5. And I want to read the same story. The stories are mentioned in Mark and Luke. There's a reference to it in Matthew, but not the details. And to get everything you can out of any story in the Bible, you've got to compare all of the accounts. And so we're going to do that this morning, Mark's account, Luke's account. I want to make some points here, alliterate the story a little bit, and then at the end make an application on what this has to do with you and what this has to do with me. But let me read this story now in Luke 5 and verse 17. Same story, a few different details. And it came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. Now notice again, you got to know both stories because it just says men here. The last story tells us four men. So don't be afraid to dig into your Bible and get all the details. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him, that is Christ. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk. Well, how would you answer that question? I would say it's easier to say, Thy sins are forgiven thee, than to do a miracle. I mean, anyone can say that. Your sins are forgiven you. What's the big deal? So he asked them that. What's easier? What do you think? And they're probably thinking, well, anyone can say, okay, well, let's see if I have this power. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. And isn't that good news? Jesus is the Son of Man. Isn't it good news that Jesus Christ has the power on earth to forgive sins? You and I live on earth, and we're sinners. But there is forgiveness available to us through one Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. He has the power to forgive you of your sins and to forgive me of my sins. He saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. I want you to notice some things about this story here, the story of this man born of four. I want you to notice, number one, the hearers. The hearers. In verse 17, it says that Pharisees and doctors of the law came out to hear Jesus Christ. And verse 19 says, And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went up into the housetops. There were some kind people in the days of these Bible stories that would open up their homes to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow Jesus Christ to come into their homes and teach them the Word of God. There was about 1,500 people living in Capernaum at the time, and there was a house there in Capernaum, and somebody opened the house, and some people realized that Jesus was there. They had become very familiar with his miracles, and they just packed the entire house. The house was so packed that no one else could get into the house that day because of the multitude. Some of them were common people. Others were doctors of the law and Pharisees, religious leaders. They were the hearers. But you know, it's not so much the hearers that surround Jesus Christ in the house where he's speaking that is important, but the doers of the word. In James 1 and verse 22, it says, Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Now, I want to encourage you to hear the word of God as much as you can in your life. It won't hurt you. In fact, Jesus said in John 8 and verse 47, He that is of God heareth God's words. He that is of God heareth God's words. Are you of God today? Then there is a stipulation. He that is of God heareth God's words. We ought to go every time we can to every place we can to hear the Word of God. We ought to come to Sunday school and church and Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and whatever the services are going on, or if you're from out of town and you go to a good Bible-believing and preaching and practicing church that's true to the Bible, you ought to go there and you ought to hear God's words. Why? He that is of God heareth God's words. And what happens? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10 what happens. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing God's word will expand your faith. It'll grow your faith. The Bible describes faith sometimes as being just a small little dinky thing the size of a mustard seed. And that faith can grow. And our faith can increase according to the word of the Lord. And as much of the word of God that we put into our ears and into our minds and into our hearts, in proportion our faith grows in the power of God. As you read, for instance, this story, it may be the first time someone in this room has ever heard this story. This story will increase your faith. You'll say, wow, Jesus Christ can do that. Jesus Christ can forgive me of my sins. Jesus Christ can heal the sick. Yes, he can. Yes, he can. And that's a faith-building story here in the Word. But more important than just coming to church and sitting and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing like this multitude, it is more important that we be doers of the Word. Let me ask you something based on these two accounts that we've read. Who do you think rejoiced the most that day when they had church in that house of all the people that gathered? Who do you think rejoiced the most? Those that just heard another sermon, some more teaching, or those that brought their needy friend to the house of God that day and saw him healed and saw him saved? Who do you think rejoiced the most? You see, it's the people who are involved, the people who are involved in bringing people to Christ and getting them into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, they were all amazed. I mean, they sure were glad when they all went there that day. They saw someone, they saw something supernatural happen. They saw someone saved. They saw a man who hadn't walked maybe all of his life or part of his life pick up his bed and walk out rejoicing. And man, they went home and said, we saw strange things today at church. I think it's wonderful when we do have services where someone walks the aisle and they're saved or someone's baptized or something. And maybe you had nothing to do with it, but I think it helped you feel better, warmer, fuzzier on the way out of church that day saying, praise God, someone got baptized. Praise God, someone got saved. But you know, in our church setting, I want to encourage you, don't just come and listen week after week after week after week, but make an effort to bring someone else to the church. Bring your children, bring your grandchildren, bring relatives or whatever, and put them in Sunday school classes and children's churches. It might just be the tool God uses to save your own children's souls. Or to build them up in the faith or teach them some truth that's going to help them in life. And so make an effort like these four did to bring people. And so we have the hearers. We have the church packed full of people who wanted to hear what Jesus said. And then notice number two, we have the helpers. We have the helpers. In verse 18, it says, and behold, men brought in a bed a man that was taken with a palsy. The helpers. I submit to you today that this man probably would have never gotten any help in life if four people didn't care about him. We learn in Mark's story that he was born of four. He was carried of four. Verse 18 right here says this. Notice in the middle of the verse, and they sought means to bring him in. I mean, my imagination is not too wild here, I believe they talked about this. They said, you know, we've got the Lord Jesus Christ in our town, Capernaum. And Capernaum was the hometown of Jesus Christ during his 3 years of public ministry. And they said, we've got this need who has the palsy. And I think they discussed this thing among them. They said, we think that if we can just somehow get our friend into the presence of Jesus Christ, Jesus can help our friend. And they sought means. It means that they had discussed different ways. How can we do this? We've got to get him to Jesus. There's got to be a way. Maybe somebody suggested, well, let's put him in a chair and carry him. One said, no, that would be too hard. You know, I don't know if we can all carry a chair. And maybe somebody said, well, I got a donkey. Let's try to get him up on my donkey, and let's try to get him over to the house. And maybe they said, no, that might be dangerous. What if he falls off and gets hurt worse or something? And then finally they decided upon what one verse calls a bed, another verse calls it a couch. I think maybe in our minds we could perhaps picture a stretcher, an ambulance today pulling up and putting somebody on a stretcher, and they have two poles going through the stretcher and one man on each corner. I don't know, but whatever the bed was back then or whatever the couch was, that was what they came to a conclusion, a consensus. You know, let's get him in his bed. He's in his bed now. Let's just get on the four corners of the bed and pick the thing up and let's carry him to Jesus Christ. And I'm sure this was hard work. We have no idea how far they came. They may have come just down the road or the house across the street. They may have had to walk a mile or two. We have no idea how far. There may have been times where somebody said, we got to put him down. My arms are getting tired. Or let's switch sides. My right arm's shot. Let me use my left for a while. And then they pick him up again and they travel some more. And I don't know if it was hot, if they were sweating, taking breaks for water, or what they did, but they wanted to assure that this man was okay. And it says they sought means to bring him in, to lay him before him. They just said, we've watched Jesus Christ. We've seen him heal people. We've never seen him turn away anybody. If we could just get this, our friend, if we could just get him and just lay him in front of Jesus, we know Jesus will do something for him. It's good to have somebody that cares about you in life, isn't it? Amen? I submit to you that those of you today that are really saved, it's because someone in some way showed some care for you. Somebody came to your house and talked to you about Jesus Christ. Somebody gave you a gospel tract. Some church printed a bunch of tracts or Bibles or something or had a program for you. Or kept the church open for 25 years or whatever so you could walk in. And they just kept it going and going and going through all the ups and downs and all the great attendances and all the small attendances, but they just kept it going so maybe one day you could walk in. I'm so glad for the little church over in West Falls. I've told you this story before, but by the time I walked in, it had already been there 125 years. That's a lot of work to keep a church open for 125 years, wouldn't you say? And I'm so glad the thing was still open the day my dad and I and my two brothers pulled up. I'm so glad a pastor was prepared and he had spent time in studying and prayer and he preached the gospel that day. I'm so glad he got around to quoting John 10 and verse 9 in the sermon where Jesus said, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And how that touched my heart. I'm glad at the end of the service he said, if you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior, then right where you're standing, we were all standing up singing a song. He said, why don't you pray this prayer from your heart and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior. See, there was some effort that went into my salvation, and there was some effort that went into salvation, and it was from caring people. Caring people, you see. And now I think we need to return the favor. And these four men set an example for us. They had to literally, physically help a man who was helpless. Now, maybe we're not talking today about people who are physically helpless, but there's people out there who are spiritually helpless who have no clue that Jesus is the answer. And we need to bring them to the place where they can sit under the ministry of Jesus Christ and be introduced to the Lord and find him. Now, notice third of all, the helpless. The helpless. It says in our verse 18, they brought a man which was taken with a palsy. Now this word palsy here is different from our CP. We all know people with CP. We used to have a member here before he moved down south. The cerebral palsy, this is not the same. This is paralytikos is the word this comes from. This is speaking of a paralyzation of either all or part of the body, maybe like what we would call today a stroke. This man was no longer mobile on his own. He could not get around except he had the help of someone else. He was probably a stroke victim. He was probably a man maybe with one side of his body paralyzed from a stroke. Maybe there was a time when he was mobile in his life, but as happens so often to people later in life, they'll have a stroke. And he could never of his own strength get to Jesus Christ where he could be helped. Thompson, in his notes, if you have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, you might notice next to his story about the palsied man healed, or in Luke 5, he puts down the paralytic man. And so he probably had a stroke. He was probably paralyzed, and he needed help in being brought to the Lord. Now notice, fourth of all, in verse number 19, the hinderers. The hinderers. There are always going to be hindrances to getting people to Christ. There's always going to be hindrances to helping people, and it's usually going to be other people in the way. It says in verse 19, and when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Now notice this. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude. So here's these men. They're probably doing circles around the house like the children of Israel did around Jericho. They're probably looking for a window or a door or something, but everywhere they go, this house is just packed like sardines, wall-to-wall people. Like some of our missionaries, Pastor Seth was showing me about a missionary who had a little 20 by 20 hut, I think, with 100 plus degrees, and the place was just packed with people and people outside listening to the Word of God overseas somewhere. I was reading that missionary letter. These people had a hunger, and so the house is packed, the door is packed, they look in the windows, they can't get them in that way, and the multitude, the people, become a hindrance to a miracle. Now, right here, they could have said to their friend, you know, friend, we tried, we're sorry. Man, we tried, but there's just no room today, and they could have just hauled them back home and maybe lived with a clear conscience and said, you know, we tried. We tried to bring them to Jesus, but they would not be deterred. These were a determined bunch, these four. And they said, no, we don't care how many people are here. We don't care if we make a scene. We have got to get our friend to the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to get our friend to help. So the hinderers. Have you ever seen hinderers? They're in every church. They're in every country. There's people that just oppose anything that, you know, you do. Anything that moves causes friction. Before you ever start something, people are going to say, man, don't do that. I remember I was talking 25 years ago when we started this church, and seven different pastors told me, don't do it. You can't do it. You're too young. You don't have any college education. You don't have a degree. You don't do it. It's not going to work. And I'm glad that I rather obeyed God rather than men and didn't let them talk me out of it. And decided, well, you know, I really think this is what God's called me to do, and this door is flung open for me, and I'm going to go through it and see what happens, and a whole bunch of people helped, and it's been a blessing. These 25 years, I've been very, very satisfied in many ways, but I feel there's so much more to do. There's hinders, you know, that don't be a hinderer. Do you ever come into a church, for instance, sometimes, and just ask someone to move over? And man, they take slight by it. They get offended. This is my seat. This has been my seat for 10 years. What are you doing in my seat? You know, there's people like that. Their parking spot. That's another issue. Their parking spot. I always park here. Who does this person think they are? And, you know, we ought to just not be a hindrance. You know, and boy, if the day ever came where our church was so packed there wasn't any seats, get up and stand outside and let someone else have your seat. The first will be last and the last shall be first, the Lord said. And we need to be humble about these things and not be a hindrance to people. And there's times, for instance, even in our history, we have so little parking around here that I have heard of a couple stories. I'm never out there, but I've heard of a couple stories where people wanting to come to church could not find a parking lot. Even though I've announced it probably 100 times where to park, this parking lot behind us often fills up, and I know some of you have to park there. You know, you got little kids and you have disabilities and all that. I understand that. You're up in your age. That's what it's for. But, you know, I always park down there. When we build a new parking lot, I'll take the farthest spot in it and walk in. I'm still healthy. And try to leave things open so that maybe somebody coming for the first time who's clueless on where to park can park in the back where it's simple. You have some openings there. And thank you, men. Some men are coming this week to remove snow because we got about 11 spots back there we just lost with snow. Just couldn't, didn't have anywhere else to put it. So anyways, let me get back to the message. The hinderers. You know, it just seemed, I don't know what Capernaum was like, but it just seemed to me that if we were Christians and we were living back then, somebody might look out the window or out the door and say, hey, there's a guy out here that needs some help. You think we can maybe make a path? Or do you think somebody could come outside for a while and let this fella in? Don't you think somebody back then may have had that thought? You know, hey, there's a guy, man, four guys coming down the road with a guy on a bed or something. You know, this guy, I think, at least today, needs more help than we do. Do you think maybe we could step outside and let this fella in? But they didn't. They didn't. And so these guys somehow get this paralyzed guy up on the roof. It's a tile roof. We know that. We read it. It's roof made of tiles. I don't know what kind of tiles. They break up the roof. I don't know what the homeowner was thinking right about then. Boy, they had some roofs broke up in Atlanta yesterday, didn't they? Man, a lot of those tornadoes. I think God's trying to get our attention in this country. This stuff's happening all the time in places. But they go up on this, the roof, and I'm sure Jesus just kept preaching and people kept listening, and you know, it'd be like something up on our roof today. We hear this bang out there, stuff flying off. You see stuff maybe going down past the window or something. Keep your eye up. And they broke up the roof. I don't know how big the house was. I was in Capernaum a couple years ago, and the houses that they dug up by excavation were pretty small, much smaller than what we own. But the Bible says they broke up the roof, they broke up the tiles, and then somehow they found a way, without hurting him, to take this guy in the bed, also called a couch, and to let him down through the roof. Now, that had to be a pretty big hole when you think about it. And I don't know if they said, you know, let's lay him here, let's find some ropes. I don't know how they did it. But these guys would not be deterred. They would not be stopped. They did not care about making a scene. You know, some of us need to start going back to our families and quit caring about making a scene. And quit caring about who gets offended in our families. If they're lost, they're lost. And they need to be saved, and they need somebody in every family to make a scene. And quit worrying about their feelings. And try to get them to be saved. These men would not be hindered. And what does it say? They overcame the difficulties. They may have been willing to endure a lawsuit. They didn't care. They may have said, look, sir, we'll fix your roof. I'm sure they offered that. But they wanted to drop this friend right down at the feet of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see, finally, number five, the healer. The healer. When they could not find by what way, verse 19, they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. We see the healer, the Lord Jesus Christ. There was something special going on that day in the regions of Galilee. And we're told what it was in verse 17. And it was this, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. That didn't always happen. In fact, there's sometimes it says in Matthew 13, verse 58, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Or sometimes there wasn't the power of God. Depending on the condition of men's faith and the faith of women, if we go forward as a church thinking no one's going to get saved, no one's going to get baptized, no one's going to change, be it unto you according to your faith. You're right. No one will be saved. No one will be baptized. No prayers will be answered. No needs will be met. No people's bodies will be healed. There won't be any financial miracles. Marriages won't be saved. Families won't be saved. If we don't believe it can happen, the Lord says, okay, be it unto you according to your faith. But if our church can perfect our faith, and we can believe that getting people to Jesus Christ is the answer, then faith is always mobilized to works. Faith without works is dead. I'm sure the house that day was filled with people who were hearers of the word, but they didn't have faith that produced works, just like some of us who hear and hear and hear and hear and hear. Some of you have heard sermons for 5 and 10 and 15 and 20 years and have never mobilized what you've heard once, because your faith is dead. Faith without works is dead. But others of you try. You bring guests. You go out and get on buses. And you bring bus riders to church. And the Lord reaches down and miraculously saves their souls and begins to change their lives. Or some of you go out on visitation like we did all yesterday, men and women, and had wonderful visits in people's homes, and we saw people affected by the word of God, while others sat at home maybe and watched NASCAR or basketball or something. Others went out believing that if I go out, God will use me and God will help me to cross paths with people that need help and I can help them. Some of you are going to help plant a church in Evans with me, and some of you don't think it can be done. Be it unto you according to your faith. But I'm telling you, if we can get people to Jesus Christ, he'll do miracles for them. Jesus honors their faith. Verse 20 says, and when he saw their faith, he said, man, thy sins be forgiven thee. You see, there's a lot of times where people will get saved in a church service because God honors the faith of those that brought them. We can be soul winners and we can be soul bringers. We can bring people. And maybe you say, I just don't feel confident to lead someone to Christ. Well, then bring them to someone who can lead them to Christ. Bring them to a program. And I want to encourage you to be like these men, these four men that carried their friends. I want to encourage you to do something that makes a scene. Make a scene at your place of work. Make a scene in your neighborhood. Make a scene among your relatives who are lost. Make a scene in the community. Go out there and interrupt someone's day. Knock on their door and say, look, I run a bus through this area. We provide free transportation to the Lord's house. And if you'd like to come, we'd like to have you come. And you know, these people that ride our buses all these years, not one of them called and said, do you by any chance have any transportation you can send our way and pick me up? Not one of them. We had to initiate it. We had to initiate it. Every single rider we initiated in some way to bring them to the house of God. And so many souls were saved. We got them to where somebody could lift up and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and his resurrection, and they were saved. Maybe you're not in the bus ministry. Or you're not involved in the visitation program, but you got a car, you got a van. You know somebody. Don't overlook the least. Don't overlook some kid maybe that wants to come back on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night. Are you riding the bus on a Sunday morning or something? Use your vehicle. Some of you got beautiful vehicles, beautiful cars, beautiful vans. As far as I'm concerned, they're junk if you don't use them for God. scrap. Or at least bring our own families in. Now let me make an application here. We've seen these four. I am sure when church let out that day, they were rejoicing more than anybody. And I am sure the rest of their life they told a story about the day they did something crazy to get somebody under the sound of the gospel. When was the last time you did something to bring one person to the presence of Jesus Christ to receive him as their Savior? Let me make an application and we'll close in prayer here. We got things coming up. Should have grabbed these earlier. We got opportunities this week. This week we have a cantata called the Centurion at the Eden High School. We're using their auditorium. It seats 900 people. We got tickets. If you don't have tickets, they can still come. They don't have to have a ticket. Who's invited? Anyone on this planet. All right? You could bring a carload, a van load. And at the end, the pastor is going to share the gospel. This Friday. It's free. All of you can come. All of you can bring anybody. Next week, Easter service. There's cards over here to take invite people. I promise you, next Sunday morning, I'm going to preach a very simple gospel message and give an invitation for people to accept Christ as their Savior. It's Easter. It's Resurrection Day. We've got tickets you can take and invite people to them. On the other side is the 25th anniversary of the church information. 3 weeks from today, April the 6th. Dr. Shelton Smith is going to be here to preach. I guarantee you, he'll preach a sermon that'll make sense and that'll help the hearers of the word. Sometimes special events like these three things can be used, whereas people might not come just to church on a regular Sunday. We've got these, or this season could pass, and we could say, oh, I didn't make any effort whatsoever. Now, here's what I want to encourage you to do. We got these little cards over here. Some of them have been turned in, and we're already praying for them. This card says this, please pray for the people I will be inviting to the Easter or 25th anniversary services. And write down the names of people you're going to try to contact in your name, and we're going to be praying for them. We're going to just pass these cards around. I'm going to take every name, put it on a list, give it to everyone that comes Wednesday night, and we'll be praying for your loved ones, your friends, your neighbors, those that you work with, that they'll come to church next Sunday or in 3 weeks for the anniversary or something. And we'll trust that God will work on their hearts. And we'll trust that the gospel will be with power. The power of God will be present to save souls. And we trust that when we get to heaven, people will look back to these events and say, you know, thank you for inviting me to the cantata. I accepted Jesus as my Savior there. Thank you for inviting me to the Easter services. I accepted Jesus. Thank you for inviting me to the anniversary. The chicken and roast beef is why I came, but I ended up meeting the Lord as my Savior. What can you do? Let's pray about it right now. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that you bless this invitation. We pray the Holy Spirit would work. We want to pray, oh God, that we would recommit ourselves to making effort to try to bring people to Jesus Christ. Lord, some here used to do that. Some here have never done that. And we want to pray you'd stir them up. Lord, I pray this message would really stir up the ladies who are just starting to go out. What a great thing, Lord, to see so many ladies out yesterday and to come back with stories about how you used them. And Lord, you just use anybody who makes themselves available. You use these four men. When you saw their faith, Lord, not the sick man's faith, when you saw their faith mobilized to bring him to you, you save that man's soul and you heal that man's body. Lord, you put this story in the Bible for a reason, and that is to mobilize us. That no matter what the rest of the crowd does, if all they do is come and hear and sit there and do nothing else, the rest of us can be like the four. You could say, God, help me to bring somebody under the sound of the gospel. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed,